welcome back to another episode of The Focus, the news podcast for the Bradley Scout. I'm your host, Valerie Vasconas, and I'm here with a very special guest today, your new student body president, David Day.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here, David. So, David, he recently won his presidency on a loan ticket, too, right?
Yes, I ran independently.
Oh, yeah, that was a pretty big thing. So we'll get into that soon, right after our briefs. Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity is hosting their Stroll Like an Alpha competition in New Miller Hall at 7 p.m. on April 15th. Different teams of female students coached by the Alphas will compete to see who does the best stroll. Landmark Lanes is hosting a free art expo on April 14th. All ages can enjoy face paintings, 3D blacklight art, and bowling from 3:30 to 6 p.m. In honor of Sexual Assault Awareness Month, Alpha Chi Omega asks students to anonymously share their stories, draw, or write words of encouragement on t-shirts. The t-shirts will then be hung on clotheslines on Owen Quad. The Early Ford VA Club of Central Illinois is hosting their 36th Annual Nostalgic Indoor Auto Show on April 16th at the Exposition Gardens. There will be classic cars, raffles, and more. Tickets for adults start at $5, with all proceeds going to the Children's Hospital of Illinois. Learn how to get the pay you want with the American Association of University Women Start Smart Salary Negotiation Workshop. The event, hosted by the Women and Gender Studies program, is being held April 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. in Westlake, room 116. Let's talk pre-Bradley a little bit. So I kind of want to know, what got you interested in politics?
You know, it's so funny. I actually was going to be a teacher. I tell people all the time that I was going to be a teacher. I was going to be a theater teacher. That's what I did. I did the fine arts in high school. I went to a performing arts high school. And I was kind of one of those people back then where I was like, oh, you know, I don't talk politics. I just leave that to the politicians. And 2016 kind of rolled around, and I just saw these two sides of politics. And I was like, well, I guess I better figure out, you know, where I want to be, or, you know, like, be engaged and be involved with what's happening in our world. And so I started watching C-SPAN, which I don't know if many people know. It's like the unfiltered view of government, like no commentary, really. Like, you're just watching them doing what they're doing. And I sat there and I watched that for hours, probably was the only one. I really got engaged. I was like, this is kind of cool. And so that's when I really contemplated, like, changing my major. I didn't even know that political science was a major, or that, like, that's a field that you could go into. And so once I discovered that, I kind of fell in love, and I've been there ever since.
That's a pretty big change.
It is. from teaching, I would say so.
So I kind of want to know then, what's kind of gotten you really involved then, sort of, in politics after that? After, okay, I'm very interested, what did you decide to do?
So I got involved with my first campaign. Actually, I think it was my junior year of high school. That was around the time that I really had decided. It was in the 2018 midterms. And there was a candidate who, one of my friends from high school, just invited me to come do a phone bank one night, which is where you just call voters and things like that. And I just kept coming every Thursday. And then eventually they asked me to run the entire phone bank and become their phone bank organizer. So I worked on that campaign until the November election. And while the candidate was unsuccessful, that was like me getting my feet wet, you know, with politics. And so I still have connections with those people that I worked with then. And of course, I've worked in other campaigns since. But that was my start, you know, just helping run, you know, volunteer phone banks. And that's where I got my start.
And that's kind of crazy. So how old were you when they decided, all right, we like what you're doing, how about you run the whole thing? How old were you?
Yeah, I probably was about 17.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did that feel intimidating, or was that like exciting at first? What was that?
It's hard because I was 17, and yes, I thought I was smart at the time, but like there still was so many other people around me who had been doing this for much longer than I had. And I was lucky that they really empowered young people. So, like, I wasn't the only young person who they had then empowered to lead a department, you know? And so I think that I was really grateful for that. They trained you. They made sure you knew what you were doing. And so they were never afraid to put young people in power. So it was scary at first, and it was intimidating, but they really worked to get us to learn what we were doing. And we're all so much better because of it.
That's amazing. So I want to know then, are there personally people in history or in politics sort of that kind of inspired you to, like, actually go and then pursue politics? Not just be interested in politics, but pursue it? Or what made you decide to go further into it?
Yeah, I think that, especially for me in my local community, there is a guy named Maurice West, and he is our state representative. And he's also a preacher like I am, so I've been preaching since I was like 14. And I just watched him step into a space. He was also a man of the arts. He played piano. He wrote songs, you know. And he really stepped out, and he ran for office, and he won. And that was really one of the moments where I'm like, you know, I really could do this. So he's really one of my inspirations, Maurice West. And I got to work for him this past summer. So it was kind of a full circle moment for me. Obviously, at the national level, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the, you know, the historic nature of Barack Obama. It's like so many young black kids like me were looking at that. And they're like, this really is a country and a place where those things are possible. And so I always say that he is an inspiration to me. The current Vice President, Kamala Harris, again, is an inspiration just for reaching those milestones in politics where people like me have often been overlooked and not seen.
Now, back to Bradley. So I kind of want to know then, what's your involvement been sort of at Bradley? What's kind of your been Bradley career so far?
Yes. So when I first got to Bradley, I was recruited to come here to do speech. So I joined the speech team right away when I first got here. But the other thing that I knew that I wanted to join was Senate. I spent hours. It's probably embarrassing the number of hours I spent looking through the Senate's Instagram page and the Facebook page and on the Student Senate's website. I was like, I want to be a part of this because I was my class president in high school all 4 years. One of only the few, if ever, anybody else to do that. And so I knew that that's something I'm passionate about. And so as soon as I got here, when they have the big activities fair, that was one of the first tables that I walked up to.
Beelined.
Yes, to the Student Senate table. And so I got involved in that right away. Obviously, I was on the speech team. And then I slowly got involved in more things as a result of Senate, too. So being on the arbitration board, which I'm now the chair of, was something that started while I was in Senate, when I first got into Senate. I started as a star in the admissions office, and I'm an intern in the admissions office. I'm part of SABRC, which is the Student Activities Budget Review Committee. So a lot of my experiences have branched from the Senate, but there's also ones I just came upon naturally. The admissions office is a perfect example of that. I gave tours in my high school, which not to the caliber that we are now doing here at Bradley, but like, it's just something that I was interested in. And then once I got here, I joined and became a part of.
Wow, absolutely. You've got a long list of things you've just kind of been doing around campus.
And, you know, I said to myself when I first got to college, it was a blessing because nobody knows who you are. Like, I went from being, like, day to day, obviously when you're a senior in high school, a lot of people know who you are. There's a lot of expectations of you. But when I got here, I was like, the slate is clean. I can just kind of figure out the things I want to do. I was like, I'll find two or three things that I really like to do. And, obviously now, I've exceeded 2 to 3, but I simply wouldn't have it any other way. I think it has been such an asset to my experience here at Bradley that I've gotten involved in so much and met so many new people.
Right. With Student Senate then, I know you were already in Student Senate for, I believe, Speaker of Assembly.
Yes.
For a good bit. And then I know you had ran for president mm-hmm. once. You hadn't won that one, mm-hmm. but then you decided to run again. Honestly, what made you keep on going? Like, why did you decide, like, I'm going to do it again? Because honestly, it would have, like, stopped me from pursuing.
Well, yeah, I think I would be dishonest if I didn't say that it was very discouraging. It was very tough for me the first time. But I said I wasn't going to run again. And so I think many people don't know I had given it up and I was not going to run again. But when I saw what was transpiring, I'm sure many people by this point are familiar with the turmoil that took place in the Senate at the beginning of the school year with, you know, impeachment and all that kind of thing. I really felt a sense of duty and service to jump back in. And to do this again for the student body, not for me, because, you know, my pride was hurt. If it was up to me and my pride, I simply would have went in the corner and hid. But I knew that it would just be such a disservice with the amount of experience, the amount of knowledge, and the amount of passion that I have for not only the Student Senate, but the Bradley as an institution, if I didn't get back in and do something. So I actually joined, before I even ran, I joined the Senate again as an at-large senator. And I haven't served as a senator since my freshman year. But I jumped back in because it was so important to me that, like, at this moment, what we need is stability. What we need is someone that is able to chart the course of where the Senate needs to go. And I felt so incredibly led in this moment, in this year specifically, that I had to step up once again to try and do it, you know? And so again, it was hard to do again because again, in my mind,
yeah,
I'm still feeling that rejection. I'm still thinking about, well, what if it doesn't happen this time? Right. So those are always the thoughts that I'm dealing with. But again, I really had to put aside some of my own feelings and think about what was good and best for the student body at this moment. And, you know, it's not selfish to say, but I really believe that I'm ready to get in and do some of the work that, you know, we missed out on, quite frankly, this year.
Did anyone encourage you to keep running?
No.
So I have a very core group of friends who they are very supportive. And they were supporting me no matter what my decision was. So I kind of had been teetering on it, and they were like, you know what? Whatever you decide to do, I'm going to be behind you. But when I really made that decision, you know, like, I'm going to run, so many people were supportive of that. And obviously, it's very difficult because you can't really tell people that you're going to run. So you have to keep it to those very core group of people. And I've received so much love and support. And they helped me with this campaign because obviously running alone was different and something I had never done before. And so they were really supportive of me, and I'm so thankful for them.
So for people maybe that don't know what it's like to run alone, what's that like? Because you have that experience. Is it really sort of any different when you don't have anyone on your ticket?
Oh, my goodness. It's drastically different. And for a long time, most people just wouldn't have done it. You know,
yeah.
They just simply would have had a ticket because that was just the norm and the thing to do. And I've run on tickets previously. The past two elections that I ran on tickets. And I think they're a great asset. But when you're running alone, you now have you know, and not everybody's fortunate enough to have a good group of friends like I had. But when you have a ticket, those are three other people that you get to pull on their wisdom, their expertise, their time, their talent, their ability. But when it's just you, you really have to get in there and do the grunt work, the work that nobody else is going to do. Because even though I had good friends that, like, made my graphics and they helped me with my video, all of the on-the-ground work and scheduling, you know, scheduling meetings and when you're going to table, and when all that falls on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And managing that while also being a student, and I'm also on the speech team, which is increasingly competitive now that we're in our national season,
mm-hmm.
It was a lot. And it's something that challenged me like I had never been challenged before. But again, it's also so rewarding when you make it to the end and you're successful because you knew all of the work that you put into. So I will say it is very different to run alone because, again, all of the responsibility falls on your shoulder.
Wow.
Wins, losses, they all fall on your shoulder.
That is very insightful. I had no idea what that would even be like. I couldn't even imagine. So let's talk about what you're really looking forward to do, as you said, like in your videos that you put out, your releases all over your socials. One thing I'm sort of curious about is Greek life. You had mentioned like rebuilding sort of Greek life in some sort of way. I want to know what that kind of looks like.
The problem we have had for a very long time is I think that, and many institutions experience this, so it is not unique to Bradley, right, but we work in silos. We work in silos. So there is the Student Senate, and then there is Greek life.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point do we find it necessary to collaborate,
right,
to reach out to one another, to work together? And I think it's something that we just haven't done in the past. There's a considerable amount of students on our campus that are involved in Greek life. They obviously represent a vital portion of what our university is. And so if we are the Student Senate, which we should be on the having our hands on the pulse of the student body, what better way to do that than to engage with the organizations that are making our university thrive. So like, yes, Greek Life is one of those organizations, those conglomerates of people that help our university thrive. So if we're going to do anything, we simply have to do it together. We can't be isolated. We can't be siloed. We can't be living in our own islands. We have to be collaborative. And so that is something that I was very passionate about. And it's something that I've heard from people in Greek Life and Greek leaders, that is something that they've been yearning for. And I'm going to do the best that I can to provide that relationship more nurturing than it has been in the past.
Right. So what kind of other issues would you say are your main going to be your main concern?
I think that one piece that I know it's so difficult, not only from the student's perspective, but also the university's perspective as well, and that is mental health. Again, I will repeat that if this pandemic has taught us nothing, it has taught us that our mental health matters so much, and especially for students as we were going through this. Right. But it's not enough to just say that it matters, because if we say that it matters and then we encourage people to go to counseling services and get the help that they need, if those people don't look like the students that they're serving, those people don't understand the experiences of the students they're serving, it makes it very difficult to then say, yes, mental health matters, go get help for it. But what happens when the help is not really the help? And so I think that part of what we need to be doing, and I think it's a conversation we've been having for a long time, is to have a diverser panel of staff in our counseling centers to address our mental health. Or if that's simply not feasible for the university, we need to have active partnerships, very active, very promoted, very advertised partnerships, where students can go and get the resources they need from people who really understand what they're going through, people who they're comfortable sharing with, because we cannot afford in these years of our students' lives to not address their mental health. So we should be doing more than the bare minimum, because the bare minimum is to just have a resource. But to go beyond that is what we need to do and make sure that not only do we have the resources, but the resources are efficient, that they're accessible, and that they're effective for the students. That is what you do to ensure proper mental health care.
Wow, that is a pretty big one that I feel like people honestly neglect to understand sometimes. Also as a person of color myself, there's just some areas we aren't definitely not represented. And I feel like now that we have the new VP of DEI, Bradley's, has made their commitment to, promoting diversity, equity, inclusion. That's something pretty big. And I feel like now's probably the time to start pursuing those sort of deals.
Yeah, and I will say, I even have a personal experience. It's like, the last 2 years, I've struggled more with my mental health than I think I ever have in my life. I definitely 100% would use the resources here if there were more counselors that looked like me, that could understand. So it's like, I've neglected to use those resources even myself. So it's not just about me even, but I have that personal connection with it that I simply would use them if they were more effective and more accessible to students like me. So two things can be true. We can acknowledge that the university is doing their part to try to provide some semblance of resources for us. But it's also okay to acknowledge that there simply is more that needs to be done. So nothing, it's not mutually exclusive at all. We can say that they are working, but we can still push them to do more. And so that's why I always got to view leadership like that, that the moment that we start patching things off as mutually exclusive and that one can't happen without the other, it's like we got to be focused on knowing that there can be two facets, two train tracks running at the same time if we put our focus in the right areas.
Let's go back to the split ticket then. So I know the last presidency, that was the split ticket that happened. I want to know if there's probably any going to be any adjusting at all to the other candidates that had won. I want to know what's that going to be looking like.
I will say it is always going to be a difficult task. I think that the former president experienced some of that as well. Because again, it was a team that I handpicked to serve with. This team is a team that the person who ran handpicked to serve with them. And so meshing together is always going to be difficult. I will say, though, I have a great rapport with at least two out of the three that were elected. They're not strangers to me. You know, we've been in classes together. We've worked together. We know one another. And so I don't foresee that it'll be too hard to begin to mesh. But again, listening and communicating is always going to be key. Because we probably will have slightly different visions. We probably will have slightly different views of leadership. And that is okay. We have to acknowledge that that is okay. But at the end of the day, it's about convergence and it's about collaboration. How do we work together to best serve the student body? So again, I'm not going to be dishonest and say that it's going to be easy, because I can tell you just simply not. That's just simply not the case. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
But if we're willing to do the work to really get to a point where we trust one another, where we can work well together and we are cohesive, we're going to be just fine.
People don't seem to want to be involved, sometimes it looks like. And I feel like maybe that might be part of the pandemic. People just aren't used to going in person mm-hmm. as much. So I wonder if there's still maybe, or if there is issues with involvement from students in campus with Student Senate.
It's a very valid point, very valid question. And the answer is yes. It's been a progression, though. I think that I've had the beauty of being able to see three iterations of the Senate. So when I came in my freshman year, it probably was the most vibrant I had ever seen it. But even then, we had vacant spots and we had, you know, turnover. In the second year, we had similar thing, you know, like vacancies and a little bit of turnover. So I think that some of that is just par for the course. But I do think that, you know, in the midst of COVID, we've seen a shying away from wanting to be involved, which, again, I will attribute some in part to the Senate having a visibility problem. And I talked about it openly on the campaign that we do have a bit of a visibility problem,
right,
and a transparency problem, which I'm planning to work to increase that kind of visibility with more direct outreach. I've talked about spicing up the different requirements, because right now we have a biweekly requirement for each senator. They fill out a constituency report, basically with stuff that they're hearing from their constituents, and they refer it to a committee and such like that. And that's fine. That's great. That'll still be a part of what we do. But I know what it's like to come week after week and do the same exact thing, and it gets boring. It gets tiring. Right. So I want to spice it up. And I want to do that by also giving them opportunities to bring more people into the fold. So one of the new biweekly requirements I'm hoping I'm implementing is bringing a friend to the Senate. If you bring a friend to the Senate on Monday night, that meets your biweekly requirement.
Wow.
If you host an office hour, you know, you go sit, maybe it's a table, you know, you have a table out in the student center, or you come sit in the Senate office and you talk to people, or you're here and available for people, that can fulfill your biweekly requirement. I just really want to get, if you go out to a student organization and you just have a listening session with them and you talk with them and you just make yourself visible to them, that can count as your biweekly requirement. It's about diversifying the options we have for senators to get out and involved. And by that, hopefully more people are like, oh, this is something that I really want to do. You know, I like seeing them do this, so maybe it's something that I can do as well. And I think that some of that involvement will naturally come by more direct reach out. So like, if we start reaching out to more student organizations, I guarantee you, there's probably somebody in every student organization who wishes they could have done Senate, and they just didn't.
Wow.
I mean, what is the possibility of that? I think it's very high that there are students on this campus who probably would do something like Student Senate if they just had that nudge, if they just had that conversation, if they just had a glimpse of what it is that we're doing to make this campus better. And so, again, increasing that visibility through means of dispatching senators out into the field to do more of that kind of work, I think will really, really help bring people and get more people involved in what we're doing here.
Absolutely. So that's kind of my questions on, you know, your presidency. What are you looking forward to the most now?
What I'm looking forward to the most now is working with some very good people. Coming back this year, you know, and we're really starting to open up and we're getting to see more people. We're getting to see each other's faces, and we're really enjoying one another. Just really taking in that moment. You know, it's something we've been deprived of and starved of for so long. I love talking to people. I love meeting people. And that is really what I want to do the most as a student body. I want to be so visible. Not because of my pride or I want people to just know who I am, but I do want them to know. I want them to know who their student body president is. Who is this person that's representing you? And that comes by just walking out and talking to people and getting to show them that, like, there is someone here who cares about you, who wants to listen to you. And even if we don't have to be talking business, I love to just talk. I love to laugh. And then my friends will tell you, if we're trying to decide, like, what movie we want to watch, I'm always going to go for a comedy. Like, that is my number one choice because I just love to laugh and be joyful. And I think that I'm looking forward to doing that and talking, engaging with folks and just laughing and having so much fun meeting people all around the campus. It's something that I really enjoy and I'm looking forward to doing more of.
You're currently a junior, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So last year, senior year, next year, I'm a senior, so I'm there already. How do you think that wrap-up's going to feel for you?
It's such a surreal moment. I was talking with my advisor, and we were charting not only just next semester, but the final one. Mm-hmm. You know, these last two semesters that I'm getting ready to be on this campus. And I tell you, it has been quite a journey. But I'm just looking forward to doing something that people will remember me for. That I made an impact, that I touched somebody's life. Because so oftentimes we're gonna forget what professor we had in Econ 100. We're gonna forget, you know. But what we're gonna remember are the moments and the way we made people feel and the way people made us feel. So my senior year, I'm just really looking to make a mark, to have fun, to go after what I know. And that's just to be who I am, be my authentic self. It is going to be so hard leaving, you know, this campus and leaving this community, because it's what I've known for the past 3 years. But I am a much better person because of my time here, and I can rest very comfortably in that, knowing that wherever I go, the person that I am was shaped and molded by what I did here. So that's really what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to showing the world what a Bradley Brave looks like and what they can do. And I know that we all are equipped and gifted with so many talents that we're going to use to change the world. So
that's so great. Now, I don't mean to sound like everyone in your family here when I ask this, but what's after college probably looking
yeah,
like?
Yeah. So it's a question that I've been getting asked a lot recently, and I've kind of figured it out. Oh. I'm going to grad school. To get my master's of public administration. And so I'm going to apply to like 3 schools in the DMV area, which is DC, Maryland, Virginia. So I'm applying to a school in Virginia, applying to a school in DC, and then I'm applying to a school in Maryland.
One each.
Yep, one each. And so one of them hopefully will take me in there. I'm hoping to continue with speech. One of my top choices is in Virginia, and they have a speech team there where I'll be able to coach and teach undergraduate classes. So I can scratch my teacher's itch grad school and teach a little bit.
It comes into a circle.
Yeah, it all comes into a little circle there. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And then my eventual goal is to plan to work on Capitol Hill while I'm in the area.
Got some big stuff coming ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, David, for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in on this episode of The Focus. Once again, I'm your host, Valerie Vasconas, here with special guest, new student body president, David Day. Read more about David Day. We have a feature on him on the BradleyScout.com website. We'll catch you later.